everybody tonight? How's everybody tonight? All right, we're getting there. Supererogatory is the word of the day according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Supererogatory. Anybody know what that word means? Supererogatory. It actually has a spiritual context to it, so it's not a bad word. Supererogatory, it means going beyond the requirements of duty, greater than that which is required. So, you know, God would love for us to be supererogatory. In other words, going beyond just the letter of the law and embracing the spirit of the law. So, that's your word for the day or the week or the month, supererogatory, going beyond that which is required. All right, I'm going to talk to you for, I think, about half an hour tonight, maybe a little bit more. And I do have a video for you tonight as well. And everybody said, just as a little bit of a teaser, that's what everybody does now, right? They throw teasers to kind of get your appetite whetted so that you stay engaged. So, Nijah Houston. Anybody know who Nijah Houston is? Some of the guys should know who Nijah Houston is. So, Nijah Houston is going to be joining us tonight from the X Games in Oslo. All right? So, that'll be a little bit later. But he's going to be a part of the message tonight, okay? So if you don't know who Nijah Houston is, he is one of the premier skateboarders in the entire world. He is absolutely amazing and phenomenal. So you'll get to see some of his performance, and you'll get to learn something a little bit about the message I'm going to bring to you tonight. I want to talk to you about two words, and the first one I'm going to talk to you about is faith. Now, how many have ever heard that word before, faith? No, never, right? So faith, the way it's presented many times is faith. We have faith. Faith will move mountains, and faith is a great thing. Faith is an exciting thing. Faith is an awesome thing. But then we hear a word, and Steve used it tonight a couple of times in his offering message, but we hear faithful. And you know what we think, at least what I think when I hear faithful, a lot of times at least, is boring. Faithful goes on and on and on and on, and faithful doesn't have the same zing or the same kind of pow that faith does. But I want to link them together for you tonight, because God has been linking them together for me. And you know, faithful is a good thing. Long haul is a good thing. And so let's start with faith. Faith is a cornerstone of our Christian faith. It's one of the three that is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. The Amplified Bible calls these three faith, hope, and love, right? And love is the greatest, but faith is in there. And these are the three graces. The Amplified Bible refers to them as the choicest graces. So there's lots of things that God requires of us, but faith, love, and hope. Those are the three things that if we embrace those and if they're working in our lives, then almost everything else will line up perfectly with what God has and wants for us. So faith is in there. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it defines faith as follows, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, which is the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So faith is not something that we can write a definition for it, but it's not something that we can touch. It's not something necessarily that we see with our physical eyes, at least. We see it with the eyes of our understanding. So faith is an intangible in the natural realm, but it is a primary currency in the supernatural realm. And without faith, it is impossible. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're a Christian and you want to please God, then it requires faith. Faith is not an option. You got to have it. You got to walk in it. And you got to walk in it not just once or twice, but faith is walk, 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 walk. It goes on and on. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 puts it like this, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe two things. You got to believe two things about God. You've got to believe that he is. God revealed himself to Moses and he said, I am that I am. So we've got to understand and believe that God is who he says he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. God rewards us. He doesn't punish us. If we believe that God is a punisher, then we believe one of two things that we're supposed to believe. But God says we need to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's part of what we do on a night like tonight. But you know what? It's not just corporately, it's individually. And the seeking has to take place individually, because we're a Christian individually, not corporately. I will stand before Christ and be judged individually. We won't be judged as a body. We will be judged individually. And so my individual walk with God counts hugely for me. And it's a contribution to the whole body. Just as all of you, your walk with God contributes to the effectiveness of this whole body. How many have heard of the Word of Faith movement? How many were and or are a part of the Word of Faith movement? It was a great movement. It is a great movement. And it's not as prevalent today, but back in the 80s, when denominationalism was so such a great thing, and people love to label, right? What church do you go to? What do you believe? What do you call yourself? And so there was this idea of label. You know, I grew up in a Presbyterian church. Our family switched when we were kind of midway. I was midway into my teens, and we went to the Alliance Church. And then from there, I went to a Spirit-filled church. Jim Christian, actually, in Prince Albert was the first Spirit-filled church I went to. And then a Word of Faith church. And so it's been a progression, but we love to label, right? Label, Word of Faith. What do you believe about God? Well, what church do you go to? Embassy Church. What denomination is that? Well, so people like to categorize. People like to put things in a box. And you know, God is not like that. He doesn't want us to be in a box. We believe God. And the Word of Faith had the idea, projected the idea, that we believe the whole Word of God, not just parts of it. And Word of Faith movement came along in the 80s. It was a worldwide Christian movement that taught, teaches that Christians can access the power of faith or fear through speech. So that was the big thing about the Word of Faith, right? You have what you say. If you can say it, you can have it. And you know, it was an awesome movement because it really brought back the focus on the Word of God and its importance to our lives. And that the Word of God needs to be the cornerstone by which, you know, we chart our beliefs. Not just what man says, but it's what does the Word say. And you know, this church was founded on the Word of Faith. And I wouldn't necessarily call it Word of Faith right now, but it was definitely founded on the Word of Faith. So, taught us some awesome things. Taught us to take the Word of God and to believe it. And you know, in my life personally, my wife and myself, we have been blessed with three beautiful girls. And When we were married, my wife had been diagnosed medically as being, it was medically impossible for her to have children. So there was scarring on the ovaries and things like that, and just medically it was impossible for her to conceive. And due to the Word of Faith movement and the emphasis on the Word, my wife, God just opened up the eyes of her understanding, and she saw some things. And she took a hold of the Word, and she took a verse. God gave her a verse. The Holy Spirit gave her a verse out of Psalms. And she would confess that verse over herself every day. And she would just, you know, it wasn't pressure. I got to have it. But it was just something that she would do every day, and she was faithful in that. And it didn't happen the first day, you know. It didn't happen within a month. And she'd actually been... she'd gone to a doctor, and the doctor had contacted the hospital, so the hospital was going to schedule her for surgery to see if they could remedy the problem via surgery. And so the first opportunity came up for surgery, and she really felt in her spirit that, no, you know, this is not the time. So she said, no, not at this time. And they said, fine, we'll reschedule you. And she said, fine. And so she continued to say those words. She continued to declare that verse over herself and her body, her ovaries. And it was, I'm not sure the time frame. She could give you a far better testimony about this. I think it was about a year. And about a year later, the hospital called again and said, okay, your rebooking has come up. And so we've got you scheduled for surgery. And she just really felt a peace to say, yes, okay, I will. You know, agree to the surgery. And so in the meantime, between her going for surgery and her agreeing to it, she had an appointment with the doctor, and she found out that she was already pregnant. And so God had done a miracle. And so that was our first daughter, Tamaris, which means the promise of God fulfilled. And then there came Courtney, and then there came Haley. But that's all attributed to the Word of Faith in terms of taking hold of God's Word and speaking it, not just believing it quietly. This is personal. This is private. Nobody else is going to hear me. I'm not telling anybody. It's just me. No, it's actually declaring it so that anybody that wants to hear, they may think you're crazy, but you know what? People think what they think anyways. And you know, if you try to protect yourself from what people think, they're going to think something anyways. So whatever they're thinking, you might as well make them think what you want them to think, that you're on fire for God, that you believe God, and things like that. So the Word of Faith, it produced three children in our lives, and we were blessed with three girls. And so it was an awesome thing. I was going to go to another testimony, but I won't. I'll keep it. I'll try to shorten this up. But anyways, there were some downsides to the Word of Faith movement. And I don't know if any of you ever felt or experienced that. And if you didn't, then I'll be vulnerable and share my downside with the Word of Faith movement, is that there was the sense that if you were right with God and you were declaring what you needed to declare and you were standing in faith, then nothing bad should ever happen. You should never be sick. You should always be prosperous. You should always have more than enough. And trials and tribulations should be fairly easily overcome because you're speaking the word, and therefore these things should not come against you. And yet, what we find is that, you know, the world hated Jesus, and if it hated Jesus, he promised that the world is going to hate us. And if the world hates you, if somebody hates you, they're going to bring things against you. And so we live in a world where there is real opposition to our faith. And we do experience some of those things, and it doesn't make us less of a Christian. It doesn't make us less of a believer. It just means that there's some things that we have to walk through and have faith in God about. Because if you read Hebrews 11, and I've read a couple of verses from Hebrews 11, But if you go to the second last verse in Hebrews 11, it talks about the men and women who are part of that great testimony of faith. But it says, even they did not inherit what was promised to them, that they saw it from afar, but it was because of us that God didn't pour out everything that he had shown them. And so even though they'd seen it with their eyes of their understanding, it was not something that they inherited, because God had to leave room for us to come and be a part of the picture as well. And so sometimes, you know, the deal was, I'm believing God, I'm declaring this, and I don't see it happening. So the temptation was to feel like, gee, this isn't working for me. You know, what is the word of faith? I've been declaring this for a year, and it's still, I don't see it. Where is it? And, you know, that was never the idea or the intent. But, you know, we've heard the name it, claim it, right? How many have heard the name it, claim it? So, was that a positive name? Oh, you're part of the name it, claim it bunch. Was that something you said, yeah, man, I am? Or was that kind of a derogatory term? Why do you think they called it name it and claim it? My interpretation of why they called it name it and claim it is because they thought that what we were preaching, what we were espousing, was a shortcut past faith. So in other words, we didn't have to go through all of this hard work and everything. It was just name it and claim it. All you got to do is speak it out and it's yours. And you may have a different take on that, I'm not sure. But it was definitely a misunderstood message. And there were people within the message that took it the wrong way as well. And you know what? When I first heard it too, it was like, wow. I just found the key that unlocks this door, and now I can just declare something and it's mine. And wow, it's been a few years and I'm still haven't experienced like I thought I would. And so I could look at God and blame God and say, well, what's going on here? That was your word, your promise. However, that's not what God had promised at all. So the misunderstanding from outside the Word of Faith movement was that the Word of Faith was a perceived shortcut to the promises of God, bypassing faith and just naming and claiming something like health and prosperity, etc. Some of the misunderstandings within the teaching were that if one had the right confession, they would never have to endure hardship, which I've already said. If one did experience one or more of these things, then it was the big question, what am I doing wrong? I need more faith. You know, God favors them, but not me. So then you question, well, God, you know. In Romans, it talks about God is not a respecter of persons, but it seems like, well, I've been confessing this for a long time, and that other person has been confessing it just a little bit of time, and they're getting it, and I'm not getting it, so what's the deal here, God? For me, what God has been speaking to me about is the difference between faith and faithfulness, or faithful. And, you know, as I said, there's perceptions, and maybe I gave you my perception in terms of faith is kind of, if you've got big faith, it's just awesome, it's exciting, it moves mountains, it does all this stuff. But if you're faithful, then it's just like you're doing the same old thing day after day after day, and, you know, it just does not have that same sort of punch. Faith is a noun. So faith is, a noun is a person, place, thing, or idea. So faith is a thing. Faithful or faithfulness is an adjective, which means it describes a noun. And so we can't be faith. God's word produces faith, but we can be faithful to God's word. So faithful becomes a modifier for us as we practice and embrace the word of God. Merriam-Webster defines the word faithful as this: true to one's word, promise, or vow. Steady in allegiance or affection, loyal and constant. reliable, trusted, or believed, adhering or true to fact, which means something like I gave a faithful account of what happened. So I didn't embellish it. When I told my fish story, I gave you a faithful account. I didn't give you an embellished version. Having or showing true and constant support or loyalty. Deserving trust. If you're faithful, I like this definition here because it says if you're faithful, you deserve to be trusted. How many want to be trusted? And if you're going to be trusted, then you've got to be faithful. There is no other way to be trusted, at least not in God's kingdom. So faithfulness, if God is going to entrust you with the true riches of the kingdom, then you have to be faithful. You can't have faith for that. You can have faith in God's promises, and as you're faithful to walk out what he shows you, then you will receive what he's promised you. Why? Because you've received his trust. It is our faith that allows us to become faithful. So you must have faith to be faithful. They're not two different things. You must have faith to be faithful. And if somebody calls you faithful, that's because you have faith. So, you know, sometimes, and I'll just say me personally, you know, it's maybe more encouraging to hear, I have great faith. You're a man of great faith. But if somebody says you're faithful, it kind of sounds like, well, that just means I'm doing the same old thing every day, every day, every day. It doesn't sound as good as you're a man of great faith. But to be of great faith, you have to have great faithfulness. And so you cannot separate those. Faith without faithfulness is nothing. Now, I'll give you an example. I'll give you the shortened version. I met my wife back in 1980, thereabouts. We met when we'd both signed up for baptismal classes at Circle Drive Alliance Church in Saskatoon. And at the time, she had been engaged to somebody, and at the time, I was also going with somebody. But I remember looking across the table as we sat in that room getting prepared for baptism and thinking, oh, she's pretty nice. And she goes on to tell me that she said the same thing. However, we were both otherwise engaged. Now, I wasn't officially engaged, but I did have a relationship. And she was officially engaged. However, what was just a feeling or a thought initially turned into reality in terms of she really was the one that God had picked for me. And when I came to the full understanding of that, and as she would tell you, much later than she did, so guys, are we slow? What was that, patience? Very? So guys, we are slow. At least I was very slow, and I didn't pick up on it. But anyways, when I came to that realization, and she'd already come to that realization, then we made a commitment to one another that we were not just engaged, but we got married. And from there on, you know, we've been married since March 12th, 1982. So, you know, almost 35 years. Now, having faith in what God said and revealed to me would mean nothing if I was not faithful to my wife. Right? I'd say, yeah, God showed me. But if I'm not faithful to my wife, then the faith means nothing. So faith and faithfulness, they go together. You cannot separate them. If you have faith, then you will be faithful. And what does faithful mean? Again, true to one's word, true to one's promise, true to one's vow, having or showing trust and constant support or loyalty, deserving trust, keeping your promises or doing what you are supposed to do. That's faithful. And if you are doing those things, then you have faith. How many have heard this? Respect is given, but trust is earned. And you know what? You can give somebody respect. You can respect their position. You can, you know, our prime minister, for instance, I can respect him because he's got a position. He's got a title. But you know what? That's not the same as me trusting him, because trust is earned. And just as the definition for faithful said, you know, the one definition was deserving trust. And to be trusted demonstrates your faithfulness. If somebody trusts you, that means they know you're faithful. If you have a business and you have an employee that you will entrust your business to, in other words, you can leave, go on holidays, and you know the business in good hands, that means they have been faithful to do what they need to do for you. And you know that they're not going to disappoint you. They're not necessarily perfect, and they'll make mistakes, they'll screw up. But their heart is faithful to you and your business. And when you find somebody like that, you better recognize that and value them, because they're not just everywhere. So respect. We can respect people, but if you're going to trust somebody, you've got to know them, and that trust has to be earned. God is faithful and describes himself as such. So I'm going to read you a few scriptures here. And so the whole intent here is to indicate that faith and faithfulness go together. And faithfulness endures for a lifetime. It's not just a day or a week or a month. But if you're faithful to God, then you're faithful to God from now until the point where you transition into heaven. And there, you'll be rewarded for your faithfulness, and you'll be given even more. God is faithful and describes himself as such. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. That's a long time. So God has committed to us, God has committed himself to us, not short term, but long term. And there's nothing that you can do that will dissuade God from his faithfulness, because that's who he is. God is faithful. Isaiah 49:7, to him whom the nations abhor, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Revelations 3, verse 14, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So faithful is something that God is. He doesn't expect us to be something that he isn't. So God is faithful. God highly values and rewards faithfulness. 1 Samuel 2, verse 35. Then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. God is looking for faithful people, not just somebody who will have faith for a day and then do his own thing, and then come back a week later when things go tough. He is looking for someone who is faithful. Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. If you want much, then you've got to demonstrate that you can be faithful with the least. Revelation 17, 12 to 14. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for one hour as kings with the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Those who are with Jesus they're faithful. And so he highly values and rewards our faithfulness. Others highly value faithfulness. Proverbs 25, verse 13. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. For he refreshes For he refreshes the something of his masters. So what is that? Can you guys bring up Proverbs 25, verse 13? For he refreshes the soul of his masters. So someone who is faithful is a refreshing to his masters. Colossians 4, verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. So Paul addresses Onesimus as a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. And so he doesn't just say that guy that I sent to you. He talks in terms of what he is. He's faithful and he's beloved. Faith was never meant to be short-termed, discarded, or set aside after a trial, tribulation, or circumstance is over. Faith is meant to go with us every day, and we are meant to live our lives in faith and by faith. Hebrews 10, verse 38 says this, "Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So we are to live by faith. And what is that? That's a day by day, an hour by hour. And you know what? It may not feel like anything. You know, you can go to work and be a good employee, I'm sure, Steve, and any of the other shop owners here. But they could have a lousy day. They could have woken up on the wrong side of the bed. They could have kick the dog and the cat on the way out the door, but they can still show up at work and they can be a good employee. So it has nothing to do with feelings, how they woke up, how they're feeling, but it has to do with the decision that I am going to be a good employee. I'm going to be faithful to the calling that I've got. And we are to be faithful every day. Faithful, F-U-L-L. So faithful and faithful every day. So it's a bit of a play on words, but the emphasis is that faith and faithfulness, faithful, they go together. And if somebody says that you're faithful, it implies that you have faith. If you have great faith, then that also implies that you're very faithful. And one cannot be separated from the other. Now, I'm going to show you a video clip here. And I'll have a few closing comments, and then that is it. So this is Nyjah Houston from his first run at the X Games in Oslo, 2016. So this is relevant. This is current. So he is an amazing skater, and if you don't get it, then I'm sorry. But it is absolutely awesome to watch this guy on the course. So if we could have the video, please.
How do you follow that up? Just have the most dominant man in street drop in.
Wow.
Nyjah.
That first trick is
Houston.
How you follow that up. Wow, fakie flip on bricks. Just asking to wedge your tail in the crack.
We always say with Nyjah, he's got enough talent to win this outright. But what happens when you poke the bear? What happens when you put a run down like Shane just
There's
did?
There's two things that happen. You either spook him and he doesn't make everything, or you poke the bear and he feels really good that day, and then he goes, oh, well, I was taking it easy anyway, so here you go.
Well, right now, it looks like...
You asked for it.
Right now, it looks like the latter.
Yeah.
Because Nyjah looking absolutely confident on this course.
Oh, wow. He is just rifling through moves right now.
And it's just unfair when you
put... And his timing.
When you put handrails in a course like that for Nyjah, and as you said...
Dude!
No one times their run better than Nyjah
Houston. No one. He saw 6 seconds left. He knew that's exactly what he needed. Wow.
Even Shane has to give it up for him on that one.
And that's a really cool thing about skateboarding, too. I mean, when somebody puts down something like that, even if they're bumping you out of the lead, you're going, man, that was really sick, though. He deserves it. Full cab front board. Trick is crazy because you have to almost ride underneath the rail before you pop to get that spin around right.
This guy does stuff that just doesn't seem human. Time after time.
I mean, almost as if everything's moving in slow motion.
Okay. So it's time for run number two here in the final X Games rookie.
Sure, we could watch the whole... Well, some of you might watch the whole thing. So, Nyjah Houston, why do I show you that? Because there is a kid, 21 years old, who is faithful. Now, he may not be faithful in the context of following God. I don't know what his religious beliefs are. But you know what? The fact is that he can do what he can do on a skateboard means that he started just like you or I would. He had to step on a skateboard. He had to learn how to get his balance. He had to learn all of that. He didn't come out of the womb like that. He learned it. But he was faithful. He found something that he could give himself to, and he really, really, really gave himself to it. And as one of the commentators said there, that he does stuff that just is almost superhuman. And one of the deals is that the guy that had run before him, Shane O'Neill, threw down an amazing run and was scored 92, which was the highest thus far. And so he had to come out there, and he was either going to be intimidated by the previous run, or he was simply going to be faithful to do what he did. And so that's what he did. He went out, and he was faithful to his training. And he threw down a run that we just watched there that scored him a 93. Now, I didn't watch the whole thing. I'm not sure how it ended up. But Nyjah Houston is one of the most winningest skateboarders on street ever. And he is almost flawless in terms of what he does. But he's been faithful in his training. He doesn't just think, well, I'm going to be a skateboarder someday. He is out there practicing and practicing. And the reason he can do moves that nobody else does is because he tries them, he thinks of them, and he practices them. So he's faithful with the gift that he's been given. And how else do I know he's faithful? Well, if you looked at the hat that he was wearing, did anybody notice the emblem that was on it? Anybody see it? What was on his hat? Where's Luke? Okay, he had a Monster energy drink insignia there. Anybody know how big Monster energy is in the world of action sports? Pretty big. And they don't just put their logo or their name on anybody. They put it on somebody that they trust to represent them well. And so when you watch somebody like that, he didn't go out and buy a Monster hat just to look cool. Monster pays him big bucks to represent him or represent them because he's good for Monster Energy's image. And we're not talking about whether energy drinks are good and bad, so that's not where I'm going, okay? The idea that is in the world, faithfulness is recognized and rewarded. And in the kingdom of God, Same is true for us, that God recognizes our faithfulness. And you know what? In Revelations, it talks about that when we transition from this life and we go to be with Jesus, that we're going to wear a name. In one verse it says he's going to give us a stone with a name on it. It also talks about Jesus, who has a white robe that has a name on it. And he's also got a name on his leg. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is tattooed. But it does say in Revelations that he has a name on his leg. So, I've got an S on my chest here. It's not Superman. It's Solomon. Now, I had to buy this shirt. Okay? Because I like Solomon. However, Solomon doesn't really care about me. They just want me to buy their product. However, if I was good enough, then I wouldn't have to buy a shirt. Solomon would put a shirt on me. They would put a hat on me. They would put everything on me so that everybody could look and say, wow, that guy runs or does whatever for Solomon. And you know what? That's what God wants to do with us, and that's what he's done with us. Is he's given us his name. And so our ability to be faithful, we're sponsored. You know, that's a dream of young athletes, right? I want to be sponsored. But we're sponsored by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we qualify ourselves for that sponsorship by our faithfulness. And so when we're faithful, then God entrusts us. And as we're faithful with little, he'll give us more, and we'll give us more, and he'll give us more. And that's the oxymoron of faithfulness. Is sometimes, I remember Wayne saying this, we were at a work bee or something like that, and I think he said, it's nice sometimes just to be told what to do. Do you remember that? And you know what? I agree. Sometimes it's nice just to be told what to do and not to have to make decisions. Just somebody else, go do this, go do that, and yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. But that's part of faithfulness. But the interesting thing is that God says if you're faithful with a little responsibility, he's going to give us more responsibility. And I'm not always a big fan of more responsibility. It's nice to get away from that sometimes. But that's God's reward. That's his recognition of faithfulness. So that's all I've got for tonight. I hope that's encouraged you a little bit. And for those who want, there'll be a special showing of the rest of the X Games Men's Street Final afterwards. So faith and faithfulness. We have faith and we are also faithful. We are of the faithful. Amen. Amen.